Extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here.
Wow, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer. It's the January crew. Window's still open. Tom Bogert's still here. Tommy Scoops. David Goss is here as well. Tom, if I say something about a basement and or your parents, will you go full Gio Reyna on me? You can do anything you want. You can put up the birds even. You're not on video, man.
That's true.
Plug the ears. Respond how you may. All that chatter, all that talk, man. What's up, guys? How you living? Dave?
I respect Tom for pulling the Jasper Lofvalson move, which is just, if he's the starting center mid the first day of the season, then he's the starting center mid, and you guys can sign whoever the hell else you want.
Don't try to put him on Monarchs. I'm not a Monarch. I'm a first-team player. If you wanted the minutia and ridiculousness that Extra Time is known for, Jasper Lofvalson, not yet with RSL, along with Jefferson Severino, they are working on their visa process or their entry papers or something. They're not with the team so far. So on that note, let's get into a big show today. We will overreact to preseason results, always fun. We will talk about Leagues Cup because the groups are out, the best, the brightest, and then also the groups that are sort of like, not as good as the others. That's the way it goes, but we're very excited for Leagues Cup, a full break for a month this summer. Adios allocation order. It's gone. Who was on the forefront of reporting that? One Tom Bogert.
Is this a direct shot at Sam and Paul?
I almost said allocation disorder. Yeah. That's how strong their branding is. St. Louis City got a one-time use on a priority. They took Josh Sargent. We will talk through that as well. Quakes are improving. Couple signings there. Looks like Carlos Guerrero is getting closer to being over the line. They got a veteran goalkeeper. Inter Miami got Leo Campana on a full-time deal. Vancouver Whitecaps filling in the gaps. And we got a ton of notes from around the league. We'll hit every piece of news that you don't have time to track down. We have takes on all of it. And, of course, we have Tom here to give us insider information on just about everything. That is what he is here for. I want to start, before we get into the news and everything else, by saying thank you to all the writers and the podcasters who have done absolute yeoman's work over the years, who have made our community way more rich, way more newsworthy, just covered. SB Nation announced, sadly, unwisely, I could fill in a lot of blanks there as it pertains to adjectives, as to their decision to cut support for coverage for MLS sites, all 29 of them, I believe. I haven't heard any news otherwise, though we'll keep our ear to Twitter to find out more. The funding is gone, but the talent is not gone. The drive is not gone. It was never about SB Nation. It was about the people that did the work. And my God, what work they did. I can say, hand raised high, that I could not do this job, have not been able to do this job, to stay informed, to understand sort of fan and team culture in a way that I guess makes me sound like I know what I'm talking about on this show and others, without SB Nation and all the writers, the podcasters, the editors, the administrators, all the people that just put blood, sweat, and tears into this. It was heartbreaking to see those tweets start to come out saying, hey, I think we're affected by these layoffs. Hey, the funding's been pulled. I know a lot of people are saying the show is going to go on, whether it be their podcast or the site, etc. I hope that's true. I hope everybody finds a safe place to land. I hope that our ecosystem here of coverage doesn't suffer, but I have a hard time seeing a reality where it won't, because there was just a literal army, Dave, of people that loved the game, the league, as much as we do, pulling every single day to provide information, opinion, and to entertain us.
In most markets, it was the best yes, way to follow MLS teams. And I hosted a daily show last week where I did 5 episodes a week about Major League Soccer, and everything was coming out of those reporters being at trainings, being in press conferences, knowing their teams well enough to know the history, to ask the questions, to sort of push coaching staffs as well as front offices a little bit. It is the only way to consume Major League Soccer. One of the guys at the Bent Musket hit me up, and they're selling t-shirts to support independent journalism, so independent soccer reporters. So I bought one. I'll tweet out the link when we get done with the show. And I would say go and follow everyone from the site so that as they build out whatever comes next, you can follow them and support them. Because, I mean, even some of the, you know, DC United, one of the classic clubs, and the Revs, the Red Bulls, all of them, the best way to follow them is through their SB Nation blogs. They do incredible work. So it's across the league. Same as you. It's devastating. It's terrible. I feel for all those people. I think all of us can say we've all tried to grind through in the soccer space. There's unfortunately not enough space and money yet in American soccer. And so I hope that things go better. And anything that we can do to help, please reach out. Let us know. My DMs are open. Like, I'd love to support.
Same thing. I mean, Power Ranking show dozens of people from SB Nation last year. Those are the people we went to first. When I'm wondering who's injured, when I'm wondering what's going on, when I'm wondering how fans are interacting with the front office or with the team or what the perception is on the ground, I mean, that's where I go. It's not just news. It was opinion, too, and there was sort of a institutional knowledge because those are the people that are there. Those are the people that are care. Those are the people that understand all these little nooks and crannies and nuances that make our clubs, our culture, our league, our community special, and to see it go is heartbreaking. And Tom, I'm not gonna say you're a young buck, you're working your way up and now you're big time, but like, these blogs are a place for young reporters. I mean, you see like the guys and the girls that are working it, and it's like, okay, well, still in college at, you know, this journalism school, or just like trying to get a career off the ground. And as somebody who worked for free and worked at like different sites before I ever got an opportunity with Major League Soccer, those are invaluable opportunities. And it wasn't just young hungry people either. It was established veteran reporters and voices who had a platform that made them national, both local and national. And it really is frustrating to see it gone.
Yeah, I like just about everybody else. Like I wrote a little bit for an SB Nation MLS blog. Like they were like, I was still in college and I thought it was just really cool to kind of see my name and you know, have a chance to keep writing and get better at writing and do whatever. They were kind of the first place that sent me air quotes to cover something. Like I thought that was wild. Like, you know, as you know, a 19, 20, 21 year old, whatever it was, it's like, oh, like this is real. This is like invaluable experience. Like you said, like, obviously you wish that there was money everywhere and everything, but it was invaluable experience. And it's just sad to see it go. And even today, as you said, like, I don't want to go too long here, 'cause I'm just going to keep repeating what you guys said, but like the people who are with teams week in, week out are the most dialed in, and there aren't enough outlets across the league that, like, there are some places that have dedicated newspaper beat writers, which is phenomenal. But like in too many markets, it seemed like if you wanted to know day-to-day updates and the pulse of the team, everything else, you would usually go through the SB Nation blog. And like, we're going to feel that particularly in places that don't have kind of more dedicated coverage from more like air quote legacy media or whatever you want to call it. And even in places that do, like, we're just going to hear, you know, one person asking questions on press conference or a couple, like whatever it is, it's unfortunate. And you know, I don't think that the passion that comes from the people that are working around this is ever going to go away. So, you know, maybe I'm wrong in that there's going to be less people asking questions at press conferences, because hopefully we'll see perseverance. Hopefully we'll see another way. But, you know, look, there's no two ways around it that it was a really sad and devastating kind of update.
I will shout out the Burgundy Wave. I mean, sort of on that front, if you wanted to know anything about the Rapids, that was the place to go. If you wanted to have an opinion on the, you know, on the minutia, they had it. There was 1 through 29.
Yeah, even for a quote-unquote big team like Sporting KC, right? Blue Testament did as good a coverage as anyone.
Sounders at SKC. Heart was an obvious leader in the
massive
space.
One. Yeah. Dynamo Forever, if you want to. Like, all of these were the places that we all went. Orlando, like, it was the way to cover MLS. So it's going to be really tough, I think, after this.
All right, let's end it with this. Josh says, how do you feel about the discontinuation from SB Nation? How would it affect MLS going forward? I think we kind of gave you an idea on how we feel. As for going forward, I am encouraged. I do think that the Apple deal and MLS season pass is going to provide a flood of content that we've been hoping for, waiting for a long time, both on the national level and club level. But independent soccer media is extremely important. I was encouraged to see Brian Bolello out saying, hey, to the Bent Musket folks, we're going to try to help you. How can we do it? A lot of the people that ran SB Nation, that were the reporters, the writers, the podcasters, their work will go on. And one thing I know about soccer media in this country is that we've had to bootstrap it for a long time. You know, I am hopeful, as you said, Dave, that there are more and more opportunities coming as interest grows. And maybe that's a moment for us all to look around and say, hey, go pull people in, go look at your friend that likes soccer but might not be an MLS and try to grow that pool a little bit. But I have faith that people will still find a way to do what they love and to bootstrap this thing if they have to. And yeah, my DMs are open. If you need anything, please, please, please let me know. Okay. Soccer time. Overreaction time. It's preseason and everything matters. Nothing matters. Let's get it started. Here's what matters to me. Real Salt Lake beat LAFC 2-0. RSL early MLS Cup favorites, perhaps even chasing the double this year based on preseason results. Demir Krylak is back. I have a ton of jerseys here as we move and I'm packing up and I'm giving away a lot of them. One of the ones I kept was the Dami Krylak kit that RSL sent me last year. I'm holding tightly to that. This was his first action since April 17th, 2022. We got a half hour. Demir said, quote, "It was amazing, finally, to be back with the group. Even before the game, I was so excited, like a young kid starting to play soccer. It was unbelievable." Demir Krylak, a veteran of this game of many years, is saying MLS preseason is unbelievable. And if that's not a sales pitch, I don't know what is. Anderson Julio started up top. That was tight. Sergio Cordova, Bobby Wood are obviously gone. Moses Nyman in camp. You remember him from DC homegrown days. Still just 19. Was over with Beveren in Belgium, but that's a blitzer club. So he's back as a, I don't know what the phrase is. It's like non-roster invitee, but he started and played 30 minutes. Pretty cool.
That's an interesting story. Obviously, that's a weird way to go about things. But if Demir Krylak can be 75% of what he was 2 years ago, is 2 years ago correct? He was healthy 2 years ago?
Yeah.
This team is interesting. You're looking at a team that made the playoffs last year. They really have only lost Sergio Cordova. They brought in a lot of pieces late last year that Savarino, we saw affect them. I don't think we saw like Oviedo and guys like that really affect them that much. And then they signed Andres Gomez. This is a group that, like, if you tell me Demir Krylak's healthy through all of preseason and playing like Demir Krylak to an extent, that shifts their where I would have them in the preseason standings, maybe three or four spots.
100%. Here's some other notes from that one. Since you, I don't know, maybe you care. This matters a lot or doesn't at all. Bodie Hidalgo to Burton Jackson for the first goal. You might remember Burton Jackson. He fell down. He was a GA out of Pitt in the super draft. Rubio Rubin got the second from the spot. And here's an LAFC note that has nothing to do with this game. Mamadou Fall made his La Liga debut with Villarreal. So there are your preseason results that might or might not matter for me. Dave, what matters to you?
Eric Williamson playing for the Portland Timbers. We spent 2 months talking about where Eric Williamson will play again. It's clear he has to be a starter in Major League Soccer. He should be a star in Major League Soccer. He will obviously be around the national team again this year. We didn't think it would be in Portland anymore after the relationship between him and Gio. So to see him just put on a starting lineup, to see him be around the team and closely associated, and now you start talking about, whoa. Him, Chara, Evander. Like, Evander told me at Media Marketing that he had actually played as an 8 a lot in Denmark, but he is a 10. So now you're talking about two guys who can play both roles and the flexibility that gives you and the potential that gives you. Like, Eric Williamson playing for the Timbers again, that changes their reality. Eric Williamson playing for another team also changed their reality. So huge news, I think, across the league to see him potentially again be a big piece for them.
Nathan Magasha with the overhead kick. So go check out the Timbers social media. They'll have that highlight for you. But a 1-0 win against Sporting Kansas City for Portland. Tom, what do you got? Preseason result.
I thought it was perfect that the Vancouver Whitecaps played against Wolfsburger AC, who played their forward target Tybe Rebo, and Tybe Rebo scored against the Whitecaps. And this is as the clubs are continuing to be in talks about the Whitecaps hopefully signing this player if they can reach an agreement. So I thought it was pretty poetic that not only did it work out, this random preseason stint had these two teams playing against each other, but Rebo plays and scores. I thought that was just kind of poetic.
How random is that? I mean, is it like truly, oh boy, like 8 months ago we chose Wolfsburger out of Austria to meet us in Spain, or like, well, they were just around the corner. And then what does that do to the price? I mean, maybe you don't know the details on that, but you're like, oh God, Baribo, don't do this against us. Because on the other side, Wolfsburger is like, and add an under 200,000 to that price.
Yeah, I what do you think the team talk? Because again, this is all like come out reported by myself and others about their interest and talk for this player. So what was it? What was Vanni Sartini's talk to the defenders? Like, hey, just, you know, play hard, but just be careful with this player. He might be your teammate soon. Just please don't clatter him and kind of ruin this deal. Like, I don't know. I would love to hear more details about, like, just looking at the team sheet and like, ah, man, like, we're playing against Brebo. Like, I thought we had this deal done. But yeah,
so maybe they will soon. We'll talk more about the Whitecaps down the rundown here. They have some other signings that are coming in that could be the final pieces to maybe get them over the line and back into the playoffs. Other results, Union 3, Austin 2. Yeah, Chris Donovan with a goal. The Union, Bedoya got a goal as well. Kai Wagner still starting, still with the team. Jack McGlynn in the starting 11. Red Bulls beat Nashville. Corey Burke started there.
Can we just? This show is a Chris Donovan show, right?
If you want it to be,
I feel like Tom has to stand Chris Donovan. What is he, a Drexel guy? Like, he's coming up through USL. He's trying to make or MLS Next Pro, excuse me, and he's going to score 25 goals this year for Philly Union. Like,
wait,
I think we have to create a space. This is a Chris Donovan.
Thomas hitting with the who right now. He's like, is that a South Jersey guy?
No. Do you think I'm from Philly? You think I'm from South Jersey?
No, but come on. You got to rep. It's closer for you than anything else.
Look, there's two North Jersey guys.
New Jersey
guys
doesn't
in the
produce
pod,
soccer
okay?
players, Tom. So you have to latch on to other guys.
I'm going
to
jump out the window. I'm going to jump my first floor window. Just run away. The slander is too much.
The nice thing about being in the basement is you jump out the window, that you just land on the ground. Red Bulls beat Nashville. Corey Burke starts for the Red Bulls. Jack Mayer, Senior Aleche, who we'll talk about in a little bit, starts as well. Seems like he'll get that spot. Anibal Godoy back in the starting lineup. So that's cool. Vasco da Gama knocked down Inter Miami 3-0. A lot of chatter we'll have on that later, and the Sounders are off to Spain for their pre-Club World Cup training camp. We're going to do a full preview on Monday. The first game of the tournament is next Wednesday. Okay, let's talk Leagues Cup. The groups are out. We are going to be playing just Leagues Cup, no MLS, no Liga MX, from July 21st to August 19th. The leagues both pause for the competition. MLS Season Pass on the Apple TV app obviously has every single game, and then select games will be on Televisa, Univision, Fox Sports, TSN, and RDS. It is a break, so for those of you who are still like, I'm not really a convertee, not really a Leagues Cup guy or girl, come on, get on board. It's a break. These teams are going to be playing their first teams, and if they're not, we are going to be shaming them in the public square. Lots of money on the line, 77 matches total, and then there's three spots in the CONCACAF Champions League. Champion gets in, second place, and third place. Top two teams out of each three-team group are going to advance. There are no ties in this. 3 points for an outright win, 2 points for a PK win, 1 point for a PK loss. Obviously, nada should you lose in regulation. We have, let's see, how many groups do we have? We have Pachuca and LAFC on to the round of 32 on byes as champions. So you have three groups in the West because LAFC will take that other West spot. So you have West 1, West 2, West 3, four groups in the Central, four groups in the South, four groups in the East. The way the group draw, so to speak, worked is you had 1 through 15 in MLS. They were ranked by finish. 1 through 15 in Liga MX, ranked by finish. You reverse them. So the number one MLS team is getting the 15th ranked Liga MX team and vice versa. You can go check it out. MLSsoccer.com has all the groups. But Jeff from the Rose City asked us what our most anticipated Leagues Cup group is. Dave, Leagues Cup.
One. This is just like first year. It's going to take a little, but like the connection points will come after this, right? Where there's some where you're like, do these clubs have anything in association? And then after this first year of playing against each other, it'll come. The first one that jumped out to me, though, is do I have to say
yes, what the you absolutely have okay. to say it.
Yeah. In the Southeast region, South number one, which is Austin, Mazatlan, and FC Juarez. Obviously, Juarez is a border city on the Texas border. It's far away, but I think for people from other parts of the world, 8 hours drive is not considered far away. For me, that's a different planet, but I'm from the Northeast. And so I think that's really cool that you could have like a really cool vibe. Obviously, Austin is one of the largest Mexican-American populations that we have in the country. So I'm interested to see what the stadium atmosphere is like for that one. And then you've got Mazatlan. With Ake Loba up top, comes in, drops a hattie, then Austin acquires him from Nashville, and now he's the DP striker we've always waited for. This is the Leagues Cup Goss theorem.
Well, first of all, Mazatlan would have to then buy him, right, from Nashville, because he's currently on loan.
No. Tom stated in the report that other teams can come in, negotiate, and buy, and Mazatlan can match it. But would have to do so.
But if Ake gets
what would
the
they do with Gam?
Yeah.
Yeah, like what if it's a Gam deal?
Mazatlan's going to acquire a bunch of super draft picks, trade them for international spots. Now move those for Gam so that they can acquire him.
See, and this is why the MLS League MX merger is so simple. Nice. Just do it. Just pull the trigger. There's nothing complicated about any of that. Tom, you had another
allocation order to create a League MX
exactly.
allocation yeah. slash
if you guys just get rid of that allocation order, we're going to be all in. We'll just adopt the format. Tom, where are you going? And of course, you have to go with your denominator, you know, your cardinal direction and number so that we can all fully yeah. understand what the group is.
I'm going East 1 with the Philadelphia Union, Tijuana, and Querétaro. I like this group. It's one of two groups that are one MLS team and two League MX teams. Like, I'm super excited for those. The more, you know, MLS versus League MX games you can get. And if you're the Philadelphia Union, particularly because this is regionalized, I feel like we've seen the Philadelphia Union play the New England Revolution, I don't know, 19 times in the past 2.5 years. So I think this is a big win for them that they just don't have to play the Revs or the Red Bulls or NYCFC, like, again, for the 15th time in the last few years. So I think that worked out well. And again, I'm most interested to see some of these cross-league matchups. And Weeby, I'm assuming that your selection is going to be all of the other groups?
Yeah,
basically, that's where groups. I'm at. I'm looking at my notes here, and I'm like, yeah, okay, so I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have five other groups to go through.
I just want to say, you have a decision to make. I went with the Greg Gumbel NCAA bracket announcement style of South 1, and Tom went with the... I played at the Ohio State University starting center back. So you have to choose how you're going to state your group styles.
As I mull that over, I don't want to steal this idea from Anders, who had it in the pre-show meeting. And so all credit to producer Anders. You mentioned Greg Gumbel. We should have there should be a draw show for this. I know that they're doing it by, you know, ultimately there's some rankings, there's logic here. It's not just like straight out of a hat, or there's not a committee that's like, okay, well, strength of schedule is this, RPI, etc. But I need a draw show where you see, you know, where like Tigres are in the locker room and they're like, oh, we got the Quakes. Like, oh, okay. You know, like I need to see reactions from teams just for my own personal sicko entertainment. I am going to start.
Hold on, Weeby. And then there's like the players that just got signed and like didn't know. And like they're just walking around in the background. Like, why is there a camera just here?
Very what confused. Exactly. I don't know how.
Being confused why they're not that excited, because the NCAA tournament, the point is some don't get in. And that's the excitement.
Yeah,
not just getting
The bulletin board material of like you watching the Liga MX teams, and it's like you're Montreal and like Cruz Azul or whoever else is in the group is, oh, we got Montreal. Like, this is great. Like, hey, wow, like, they disrespect us.
No, that's also for them. Like, we're going to Montreal in the summer. What a trip that is. What a wonderful time.
God. It's a great city.
In the summer, especially. So I'm going with, let's see, from the West region, West 2, Monterrey, Real Salt Lake, Seattle Sounders, ton of history in CCL between these teams. And ultimately, I think the sort of like the cross pollination between the two competitions is going to be absolutely crucial to making this interesting. Obviously, Monterrey is the team that knocked off RSL in the final. Sounders and Monterrey have CCL history as well, don't they? I know Tigres and Seattle do. I'm pretty sure Monterrey does as well. Maybe we should go check Sounders at heart. They would let me know. Santos, obviously, back in the day with Herc.
I don't have a specific Seattle-Monterrey moment in my head.
Anders says that's not true. So, well, that cheapens that group just a little bit for me. But
just to be clear, RSL, Monterrey have that connection. And then Monterrey is one of the best teams in the region over the last 10 years. They are one of the highest spending. You put them with Seattle and then that juice with RSL, that's one of the best groups from a soccer point of view, from a club point of view, from a background point of view. So you don't need that connection to have existed.
And now they're going to get the connection, exactly. Folks. They're going to get it in League's Cup. Okay, I'll try to make my other groups quick. I have Central 1 and 2. Central 1 is America, Columbus Crew, and St. Louis City SC. Love that America is going to go to St. Louis in year one of St. Louis. I just think that's really fun. I also have Central 3. That's Chivas, Cincinnati, and Sporting Kansas City. Obviously, Chivas Cincinnati already have League's Cup history here from last year. You may not remember that, but if you watch reruns on, I believe, Univision, you'll see that one going down. And also, you have the Brandon Vasquez offer and rejection. And now, Veljko Panovic, is he still the coach?
Veljko said yesterday, calm down. We've only been here for 3 games, not 3 years. The pressure is unfair. And it's like, unfair now?
Good start, buddy. Good start. Yeah. Probably should have kept your mouth shut on that one. South 2 is good. Santos Laguna, Orlando City, and Houston Dynamo. So a little Ache Ache in there. And then I think we'll talk about this later. Orlando City seem to be building something really special.
You guys are sold.
What? Yeah, I'm in. On League
you guys
Cup?
Are sold on Orlando.
Oh, yes, on Orlando as
100%,
well.
100%,
yeah. I'm not against it. It's just I wasn't on the show where you guys said they had the best offseason, and you've proceeded to just keep rolling with it.
You disagree?
It's just interesting to me.
We'll let you give your take here in a little bit, because I have some good mail. Oh, you're just observing. You're just observing.
Just asking the question.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Last one, South 3, and they're all good, but South 3 is particularly good, I think. Cruz Azul, La Máquina, Inter Miami, and Atlanta United. So you have the Joseph Swapskis in there between Inter and Atlanta, big clubs in the Southeast, and then Cruz Azul, obviously a huge club in Mexico City. So what's not as good? I'm going to throw out East 4, Red Bulls, Revolution, and San Luis. Sorry, that one's just not that's not the best. It's not the best, but we'll be good with it once it comes. Any final thoughts on Leagues Cup? Anything you're looking forward to in particular? We have, well, I don't know, 6 months to go, 7 months to go before this gets going, and I'll obviously be all over hyping it.
Well, I mean, I said this when the tournament got announced, and I think you start to see it where you see like Dallas, Necaxa, Charlotte is on the Liga MX side. We've only seen the cream of the crop play against MLS clubs consistently, whether through CCL, Leagues Cup Showcase, Leagues Cup, or other friendlies that are played. Like, we only have brought the top clubs to the US and Canada consistently to play. So that's the ones that are fascinating to me, is like, how does a Charlotte and a Necaxa match up? Right? How do the teams in the next tier in both leagues match up against each other? And I think that's what's going to be really interesting in this tournament. In my mind, that's going to be unique. We kind of know, you know, iron sharpens iron at the top level. MLS has started to reach it, win sometimes, how those teams match up. But that's the part that's really fascinating to me. And then the other part that's going to be interesting is just once you get all these players on a field together, now you get a lot of front offices being like, oh, that guy can play. And I think it's going to, we saw a few years back, the market open a lot between MLS and Liga MX when you started having guys move more consistently, right? Rui Diaz comes. That started a trend of like, you got to find a Liga MX striker. Zel Arrayán comes. Lucho goes in the other direction. Like, there was a lot of movement. It slowed a bit. I think this is going to reopen that market. And I think it's going to do it in a more interesting way, which is not just DPs, but starting center backs, starting fullbacks, you know, other wingers, other pieces where we say this with MLS all the time. There's guys who would make other teams better that don't matter, like don't fit where they are. And I think you add Liga MX's talent pool into that and it could be really fun.
I also like, and this is the final point here, you have some out of conference matchups within the groups. So as the league grows and more games become in conference, it's nice to see, you know, for instance, a team like the Crew in St. Louis City. I mean, they're in a similar geographic region, but in different conferences, come together in Leagues Cup. Minnesota United and Chicago Fire. That's the same thing there. Cincinnati, Sporting Kansas City. Same thing. East-West. You mentioned Charlotte. Dallas and Charlotte. East-West in that sense as well. Orlando, Houston. You have a number of these that are sort of mix and matches because that's just the way it works. There's so many MLS teams that you're going to get that. You get another opportunity to have that cross-conference play, which should be pretty cool stuff. Okay, let's talk allocation order. Adios, goodbye, sayonara, see you later. Yes, Tom, cross yourself, point at the sky. This is a sad, sad day. Chris Albright killed it, danced on its grave. Just, you know, how many times could he trade it last year? He was the Robin Hood of the allocation order, just stealing from the rich to feed the poor. And now it is gone. Now, of course, the way it went down, and maybe, Tom, you want to take us through this, is it's not, it's like it's gone, but there's still vagaries that fill the wake.
Well, so it's gone, but so this, as you say, Chris Albright and FC Cincinnati, I think that they rounded up like 400,000 or 500,000 in allocation via a few trades last year and then kept the number one spot to sign Matt Miazga. So this is whoever has the top spot, it is a value of like 400,000 ish, give or take, depending on supply and demand for players on the allocation order. So to compensate St. Louis for, hey, like you're losing out on an asset, for everybody who's currently on the allocation order, you get to pick one player that you have the first right of refusal for. So they pick Josh Sargent, who's a local St. Louis kid. Josh Sargent, who is obviously 22 and on the upward trajectory with Norwich City, playing very well. Josh Sargent is not likely to come to MLS at any time soon, but they thought, okay, we'll take the first right refusal on this player. And I think that it's going to be phenomenal if it's like the year 2030 and you know, a 31-year-old Josh Sargent is thinking about coming to MLS and St. Louis go, hey, remember us? When, or like, hey, MLS, like anybody else who wants this player? Nope. Like, you have to deal with us first. So that's going to be really fun on ETR in 8 years from now. That, you know, I hope that you guys still have me around to talk about this. So I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, I love that you're just assuming that we're going
to. I'm hoping we're not here, but also we are at the same time. So
we're just trying to survive, man. 2030.
What do you point a Kyle Shanahan when they ask him who is the starting quarterback?
You never know who could be around.
We don't know who's going to be alive Sunday.
Like, what we need now is somebody to ambush Sargent at the car park in Norwich, like come up to the roll down window and be ambush? Like, all right, St. Louis City just took your had the right of first refusal in the allocation order disbandment. What do you think about that, Josh? I would be curious to what he would think. But we had a question here from Roll Dog at I Am the Casual Fan, which is absolutely wonderful.
Christian or Alex Roll Dog?
I liked it, but I couldn't muster the laugh. He said, farewell to the allocation order. What are the top five moments? Landon, this is purely Weeby territory right here. It's both a list and just minutia from history. The first one that jumped to mind for me are Landon Donovan times two. First of all, Landon Donovan to San Jose, and then Landon Donovan after he left on loan back to the Galaxy. And if you remember back in those days, we're talking about the cost to acquire the number one spot in the allocation order. They had to trade Carlos Ruiz, prime 2005 Carlos Ruiz, to FC Dallas to get the number one spot in the allocation order to go get Landon Donovan, which turned into obviously a very smart move down the line. Sasha Kljestan to the Red Bulls via the allocation order. Tim Howard to the Rapids. Bedoya, Moadu, and Freddie Adu to the Union, all via the allocation order. DeMarcus Beasley to Houston. Kai Kamara to the Crew. Josie and Omar Gonzalez to Toronto. I don't know if Omar was on first name basis like Josie, but DeAndre Yedlin to Inter Miami. And then the best ones are the ones that are just pure, pure uncut MLS. The order didn't apply to Clint Dempsey or Michael Bradley. They were designated players of, quote, a certain threshold, as was the curious case of Jermaine Jones, who was not subject to allocation rankings for dispersal to an MLS team because he was a designated player of a certain threshold, despite being a USMNT stalwart, which is how you got on the list in the first place. And if you remember correctly, the Revs and the Fire both expressed an interest in Jones, had the available salary budget and the DP spot to accommodate him, and then we had a blind draw to send Jermaine Jones.
No notes, perfection. Absolute perfection.
I mention this to my wife quite often, but I fancy myself as a designated player of a certain threshold.
Correct.
Threshold.
Yes, I think, you know.
That's a term I like to use to describe myself.
I tell this to my wife often about the Jermaine Jones.
Do you remember when Jermaine Jones? It's like trying to decide on a dinner location. But like, they did it by blind draw. We can do it by blind draw as well. Just put them into a hat. We'll choose a restaurant, okay? This all came out.
He hates dinner. I never met anyone who hates dinner as much as
I love dinner. It's just deciding on where to go.
We'd be so tired of eating dinner.
Dinners. I'm number one in the allocation order for dinner, just not for deciding where. So this came out via the Carlos Grazer reporting. Congratulations to you, Tom. Yet another scoop on this one. What are now the rules as it pertains to the allocation order players, their discovery rights, and how fast you can claim them?
Foot race.
Yeah,
you have to fly to Orlando, and then everyone races to the piece of paper.
No. MLS roster rules quiz. It's timed, multiple choice. How fast can you get five correct? Whoever gets it and shows a understanding of the roster rules gets to file that discovery claim.
No, that would be wonderful. Again, that'd be great content. But so anybody who's on the allocation order, they now go to the discovery process like any other player. So you have to have them on your list to be able to sign them, or you have to compensate another team for that player's rights. The usual MLS stuff for players from outside the league. San Jose have Carlos Guezo on their discovery list. I can say that with certainty from multiple sources. His agent put up an Instagram post from the Quakes training facility a couple of days ago. I was told then it wasn't quite done, but I can't imagine what would need to happen for this to kind of fall through. I haven't gotten an update today, to be fair, so who knows? But yeah, Guezo to the Quakes seems very, very close, and I'd be surprised if it doesn't happen. And again, they have his discovery rights now that anybody on the allocation order would be subject to.
Does this matter, Dave? Like, how much does this matter?
I don't think it matters that much in terms of the signings of these players. One, this is a restrictive list that now at this point won't grow anymore. But the main thing is, I think it helps teams sign the guys they want. right? You can't have a FC Cincinnati who has no interest in your player hold the spot. Now, if you do go and look for that player and a team has the discovery rights because they're genuinely interested, now you're opening the door for another team to sort of get in, fine. But it should make some of this more simple in general. It shouldn't matter that much. And for the average fan, they will never have known it happened.
Still have those seven spots that you can use for your discovery list. I thought the funny thing here for me is that after a player is sold, it's a week after the ITC is transferred where they're now claimable on the discovery list. And it really does matter where you finish the previous year and like when you file that claim. So the content I want is like the chat of like, okay, we just hit 7 days exactly on the dot. Who is filing claims on Tajon Buchanan's future rights? You know what I mean? Like who's joining the mad dash?
I will point out that the discovery list is like six-ish deep. So this people won't be doing this for a player who's just been transferred out unless that you have very small amount of targets. But like I was even laughing about this, like around the Kansas City's talks for Cristiano Ronaldo. I was talking to people at the club and they're like laughing about like, yeah, it was, you know, when it was real, we put him on a discovery list and it was like, who should we bump off for Cristiano Ronaldo here? Like, so like, again, it's not like there's a ton of room, but so I don't think that you're gonna have to worry about outbound transfer.
By the way, did you guys listen to Peter Vermes' press conference last week about the Ronaldo conversations?
No, take me inside it, please.
It's just, he's like, well, first, you know, initial meeting, you have to be ready for your first meeting. And then it's
where was the meeting? Or is this a Zoom?
No, Zoom. So he said it was on Zoom. And he was just like, you know, you want to make sure the second meeting is going to only happen if it makes sense for all parties involved. And just the way he was talking about it made it sound very normal. And it's like, well, obviously you guys want the second meet, like you're coming to the table with $190 million. We're pretty sure you guys want, he's like, we just want to make sure he fits the system and like everyone involved knows what's going on and he's sold on the project and all this stuff. And it was very normal to hear talked about. And it's like, this guy signed for the equivalent of the GDP of a mid-sized nation. Like this was not your standard Eric Tommy Zoom to see if he can fit into your style.
Hey, Cristiano, just switch up. Yeah, no, you're on the wrong mic. No, can't hear you. Can't hear you. Can't hear you. Yeah, get in the USB.
You know, it definitely starts with the like, how's the weather over there? Oh, what exactly. Time is it? Oh, it's like, so, it's raining out here. We're hoping for a better day.
Do you just like mentions of Pat Mahomes just to see if his eyes light up in any way? Does he know football? Can we sell him on this style of celebrity
AFC
in the Midwestern
Championship
city?
Starting quarterback, Pat Mahomes?
Hopefully, man, that ankle looks a little bit ugly.
Ooh, look at us.
I know. That's about all I know, to be honest with you. Okay, let's have some fun here. Mike Vermeland, who might be Vermeesland, I don't know, or maybe just his name. What players did the abolishment of the allocation order all of a sudden make feasibly available and desired to clubs? He's saying he's hearing Panterita, which would be Albert Elis, which Foot Mercato over in France is saying, yes, an unnamed MLS side has made an offer, and Tom says he has information. So before we go through the list, and sort of circle names that maybe we think could come back somewhat soon. Tom, give us the Albert Elis update.
Yeah, so the smoke is true. There are a few teams that are in kind of serious talks and concrete interest, all that stuff. I was told, asking around, I'm not sure what teams they are and where it's at. But again, there is legitimate smoke and legitimate chance that Albert Elis comes back to MLS this offseason.
Do you think he has to be a DP?
Probably. I mean, it's not like Bordeaux are going to let him go for cheap in terms of a transfer fee. And I don't remember exactly what he was a DP when he left. Mm-hmm. So like, and if you're factoring in the acquisition costs, I think you think he has to be.
Interesting. Yeah. Who would be around that? Who do you think around that conversation? So, Dave? Cause you're looking for a winger. Maybe he can play forward for you too.
I think an obvious one you're going to bring up, I think we have every time, is Nashville, right? You're talking attack. You're talking anyone who can score a goal. You're going to bring them up. He doesn't fit perfectly.
They don't have a DB spot.
Oh, good call. Yeah.
Dallas just opened the one. Like, they don't have a
but if I was Dallas, I would.
Velasco.
We talked about it with...
He could be a forward. You could play him as a nine with those wingers. I mean, and drop Jesus off maybe.
Drop Jesus off, you're dropping Paxton or Legit out of your starting lineup. And it doesn't seem like that's worth it for this whole situation. One of the ones I was thinking about was Red Bulls, just because they seem to be rumored with players, and I don't know how he fits along with the rest of the guys, but that's talent that you probably want in your team. RSL would be another one. I know they just signed Andres Gomez, but
God, again, that'd be fun though.
But he could play him in front with Krylak. Maybe it's him and Krylak. Maybe it's the Fire desperately need an look. The thing about Albert is he a nine? Is he a winger? But they need a nine.
So, but think about it. Teams that play with two strikers, I think that he could fit well. Like, you know, we're going to probably talk about Joe
Cincinnati Contours. If they sell Brenner.
It has to be a young DP.
Nah. Colorado, they got Rubio and Yapi. They do have the DP spots.
If I'm correct in thinking, Vancouver has an open spot, right?
Correct.
Which he's not profile of what they have, but it's, again, talent that is proven in this league. You can shift things as well as they want to play in transition. They've been at their best in transition, and that's where he's at his best.
I like that.
That's one of those moves that
makes second forward off of Brian Wright.
Yeah.
New Jersey Mario Gomez.
It's one of those moves that makes sense for Vancouver of the, like, we have a spot open. We'll sort of hang around to see who wants to come to MLS rather than going out and pursuing him. Although now we're hearing that they want to sign a center forward. What is what's Atlanta doing?
I don't know. I was trying to like sound center out forward. the Greek guy's name in my head, but Giamakis. That's the last thing I've heard. And then somehow he got linked to Minnesota, which Minnesota is another one that needs a forward.
Yeah, but again, these are teams that are playing with one center forward. I don't think Elise makes sense as a lone striker.
You have any idea how Atlanta's going to play? I don't even know if they have 12 players on their roster.
Fair enough.
But it would, just to back to the original point of like who would sign and why, Garth has proven he values Major League Soccer experience, right? He signed Rusnak as a free agent last year. He has consistently brought in players like the Kellen Rose and Will Bruins and guys like that who have experience in the league over unknowns in building that roster, which you kind of don't have much to lean on, could be a guy that would make sense. He's also versatile. Like you're talking about one forward. He could play out wide. He could play. You could move someone else underneath. Like that is one of the appealing things, I think, of Elise.
Yeah, still just 26. Has not gone well for him recently in France, but we know the talent he has in MLS terms. So interesting one. Keep an eye on that one. How about this? Circle some names for me here. I'm going to throw some names out off the previous allocation order. Eddie Atuesta, interesting one. He's not really playing for Palmeiras. We know he's a best 11 player in MLS. If you're an ambitious team, go sign him on a DP deal to be your D-mid. That could be pretty decent. Any other names on here you guys like?
I put Reggie Cannon and Wong and Baum on mine too. I think those are guys who are still entering or in the primes of their careers who are in the MLS sphere of, you know, the clubs they play for overseas are equal, if not worse, than MLS teams. And if you can interest them and you want them, I think they would come. And for Reggie, it's kind of been a little chaotic in Europe. So I think there's a chance guys like that could come. And I do find it interesting, the young Americans, where we're sort of getting into a space where they're going to come back on loan for a year or something. Like James Sands is probably going to be in MLS this year, right? We've now entered a new sphere of guys going to Europe at a younger age, but more established already first team level. And then when that is done, you're going to have guys who need a spot to play, whether it's coming back here on loan, coming back here on a short-term deal, or for the future of their career.
You think James Sands is coming back?
I don't know. Rangers is not going to buy him on the deal they loaned him off of. He doesn't start.
Maybe renegotiate it. Yeah, I think George Bello's a guy in that zone. Like not really playing in the two Bundesliga right now, or at least not regularly. Three starts, I think, so far this year for Bielefeld. I would throw Gianluca Busio and Tanner Tessman both in there. It looks like Venezia. I mean, that doesn't look like they are fighting for their lives in Serie B.
Yeah, and Busio last over the summer, Charlotte and Kansas City were both really trying to sign him. Like that wasn't just kind of smoke or interest. Like Busio's from North Carolina. He went to a Charlotte FC game, and I was kind of told at first, like, oh no, he's just coming back home to watch a game. And then like when things got more serious, it was like, all right, like part of that was to talk to Charlotte because they were interested. But he ended up signing a new contract with Venezia.
Brian Reynolds was another one, though he's playing in Belgium. Kyle Larin was another one, but it looks like he's going to Spain. Then you have some randoms on here. Kwadwopoku was classic. Still on the allocation list. I mean, if that name doesn't ring a bell for you, go search Kwadwopoku, Kwadwopoku, the word. We did a long form on this maybe, I don't know, 7-8 years ago at this point. His story is absolutely absurd. And I completely forgot who Riley McGree was. So thank you to you guys.
It wasn't even that old of one. I think This is probably a debatable point, but I would argue the most random player on this list is Omar Gaber. He played in MLS for what, 4 months?
It was quick.
He was like the fifth center back in LAFC.
But he was like the full back.
Outside back, yeah.
Yeah.
Was he?
But Bob knew him from Egypt.
He's Egyptian, going to the Egyptian league where they have the registration rules where it's very valuable to have Egyptian players. So that's how that one got over 500,000.
That's information I didn't know that I needed, but I now have. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. Andre Horta is another one. That's a fun one. He's the one keeping one of the ones keeping Diego Linares on the bench.
His brother plays for Portugal.
No, yeah, you're thinking of his brother.
No. Also, Andre also plays for that team and
does he?
Oof. Keeps Diego Linares on the bench.
Yeah, he plays for Braga. They both play for Braga.
Yep.
Nice.
Braga times two. All right, let's talk San Jose Earthquakes.
We got that sorted.
Yep. Quakes 2023 hits us up, says the Quakes defensive makeover with the goalkeeper signing. That's Daniel from Internacional in Brazil, a veteran, and strong rumors of Grezo at CDM. Wants to know what you think about this team under Lucci with these reinforcements, Dave.
It's tough. This one's tough to state, but I do think they still need a center back. And they just brought Rodriguez in. They just paid for Nathan. But we heard that they were in the Aaron Long conversations. That shows that they acknowledge that as well. And I think when you look at this league, you need to have a solid center back that things are built off of, even though you could play Grueso and Judson together and have, you know, a destroying central midfield, or Jackson Ewell and Grueso. So they're definitely going to be better than they were last year. Obviously, I'm team Emi Martinez to start, or Emi Ochoa, sorry. So I'm anti any signing of a goalkeeper on this team. And Marcinkowski's been league average at goalkeeper or better most of his career. So that wasn't a position of worry for them. But remember, they brought in Trauco late last season as a starting left back. And so now if they bring in Grueso, that's a pretty big step up at defensive midfield for them, which is one of those positions that most good teams in MLS have to have a difference maker at. But I think they would admit along with us that they need another center back, which is tough to say again, because they just brought these guys in.
How tall is Daniel? Do you know?
6'4", 6'5"?
Or are we in
7 foot territory?
Just eyeball it, man.
You talking about shoes or no? Because that's the thing. The shoes tend to change 6 to 7 inches.
I'm looking at the images of him that they revealed. He's standing in a warehouse. Hard to tell how tall those windows are in the warehouse. I don't know. We'll have to do some Instagram reporting on that to figure it out. But Lucci had sort of
bigger
teased
in California.
Yeah, true. Northern California in particular. I think it's the climate.
The cliche is everything's bigger in Texas.
I know, it's a joke.
Are you sure? You also thought Emmy was 6'7" a week ago.
6'8" technically.
You guys, he feels. You know what I mean? You're standing at the penalty spot, and you just feel the size and length. It doesn't even matter if I'm right or wrong. It's the feeling the attackers on the other team have.
For what it's worth, Daniel's listed at 6'2", in case that changes anybody's
opinions. Thank you for doing the report. By the way, look, Emi Ochoa, it's like a Draymond Green situation. He plays bigger. He plays bigger, okay? Just keep that in mind. Okay, let's talk Inter Miami. Leo Campana, originally announced as a 2+1, 2 years guaranteed, 1 year option. It was not. It was a 3 years guaranteed and plus 1 year option deal. Signing from Wolves is complete. Seems like Phil Neville is surely going to play with two strikers. They do see Joseph Martinez as a starting player for them. He was introduced to fans in Miami, went through like on the field, sort of like a handshake line, which was pretty cool. I think he belongs in Miami. We got a great tweet when I tweeted that out from Mitchell in Atlanta, who says, "This is a terrible take, Weeby. They won't love him the way we do and have. That's a guarantee," which is very much the spurned X take of the year. From Mitchell. It's going to be okay, Mitchell. You'll move on. You'll find somebody new in your life. I know this hurts right now. But we have news from Alex Windley on what formation Inter Miami are playing in preseason. It was a 4-3-1-2 against Vasco da Gama. And Rodolfo Pizarro was a left-sided central midfielder. He was not in the quote-unquote 10 or second forward. That was Quarantine Jean, who you would think they would like to replace with Leo Messi, Tom. And I saw you tweeting, or retweeting, I should say, or quote tweeting, if I was going to be particularly accurate, Gerard Romero, who I did not know who that was, but he has the blue check mark and not the ones that you buy. He is big time in Spain on Twitch, in the Kings League, which is a weird thing that I don't completely understand, but that Shakira doesn't like. I don't know. But he says that Leo Messi has no intention of renewing his contract with PSG. So this is our Leo Messi update of the week.
So, yeah, like Gerard is a reputable reporter in Spain. Like he's had some stuff. Like I've seen his name numerous times before. But I think that my larger point was that like Mike Ryan Ruiz has been saying for a month as reports are coming out that PSG and Messi have agreed. It's not if it's when they just need to sign it. And Mike Ryan was reporting everything from the Miami side or saying like, as far as I know, like Miami aren't aware of an agreement, all that stuff. So again, whether this is entirely true, that he's not going to renew with PSG, I think misses the point in that it's still open and Miami still feel that they have a chance to sign Lionel Messi.
Messi, first of all, Dave, Rodolfo Pizarro is a left-sided central midfielder. Seems like a good solution to not put the 10 responsibilities on him.
I just please also, don't ask me if they should sign Messi because I cannot answer that question again for you. Pizarro, I went through it pretty extensively last week. He's not a chance creator. He's not goal dangerous. That lineup you talked about didn't have Gregory and Jean Mota, who are starters. So it's not a full team for Inter Miami yet.
I think Gregory was in the starting lineup as the six.
Mota wasn't. It would make sense if you're going to play the two strikers to say most of the chance creation is going to come from wing backs, from knockdowns, from the interchange between the two of them. Yes, the best thing you could do is sort of unleash your three center mids to just cover a ton of ground, be able to be that second man at all times to pick up the second ball, to press, whatever. Like that's what the best you're going to get out of Pizarro. And he's a pretty high level possession player. Like that is what makes him very good, is he can keep the ball in tight spaces. You can play through him in tight spaces. You can play out through him. He just isn't final third dangerous. So a position like that would make more sense for him. And you, if that was your three, you'd have one of the younger, more athletic midfields in Major League Soccer. And that could be an advantage to you. It's going to be ugly. The way they attack is going to be ugly compared to what it was with Pozuelo and Higuain at the end, but that doesn't really matter. The Red Bulls score a ton of goals and make the playoffs every year. Like you can choose the way you want to play, and there's a chance that that would be more effective.
Well, let's talk Whitecaps now.
Oh,
Matt Showalter,
soccer.
Hit us up. Whitecaps have made some really interesting, almost win now style signings. Maybe hit us with a note on what they're starting to build. We talked about Ty Barba, who scored against the Caps in Spain for Wolfsburger. TBD on whether that gets done. Got a quick update from Tom already on that one. And then Jeff Carlisle, reporting that the Whitecaps have made an offer for Yokohama F. Marinos goalkeeper Yohei Takueda. And last season, he was the J-League Championship goalkeeper of the year in the best 11.
I can confirm that offer, but I will also add that there are more targets that the Vancouver Whitecaps are interested in. I do know that they wanted to get into the Sean Johnson sweepstakes. That didn't really gain any traction, so I'm not surprised now to see more goalkeeping targets come out. I didn't know if the Sean John was kind of a one-off or not, but it looks like that they're looking to upgrade at that position. They lost Maxime Crépeau in a trade to LAFC. Thomas Assal, a homegrown goalkeeper, got the first crack at starting, and now they're looking for another option to compete.
It was Cody Cropper and Assal last year. Cropper is no longer on the roster. Assal, I think, started 17 games, so it makes sense that they're looking for a potential starter. I also noticed that, producing Anders, that Tom described, quote, losing Maxime Crépeau in a trade, actively traded Maxime Crépeau to LAFC.
To be fair, the content, that was tough.
You sound defensive right now, Tom. Just let it go.
He demanded a trade. Like, it's not like they were just like, hey, get the hell out of here. He was like, I'm not coming. Like, I want to leave. And he left.
The language around that was botched from the beginning, and it was bad, and it still continues to look bad for both him and the club. A year later,
I thought you were talking about me.
No, Tom, you're flawless. Compared to Vancouver and Maxime Crépeau in this, you're good the way you're handling it. But it was bizarre last year. Like, Hassan obviously had the moment in the bubble, young goalkeeper, and the comments were like, oh, we think he could be better than Max, and it's like, that's not the question. The question is, should he be on the field in 2022 as your starting goalkeeper? And I think they may have set him back by starting him that year. So I'd like to see them bring someone else in. I'm surprised they didn't bring Cropper back. I thought Cropper was solid, and that gives you the space to say, we have someone we trust, but we still believe in you, to Hasal, right? If you bring in an international goalkeeper now that you're spending money on, like, you're not going to start Thomas Hasal. And that's fair. You can make that judgment as a club, but you now have to deal with the blowback on him, which is like, you have to build him back up. If you do believe he's Maxime Crépeau level, which is a starting Canadian national team goalkeeper level, like, that's a high level. So this was one of the things they handled poorly last year. This goes into the entire Vancouver conversation, which is, can they start better this year? Like, that was the whole thing, right? Vanni Sartini told us it. That was their issue last year. It's been their issue now for 2 years. Obviously, COVID affected it when they couldn't play at home. But, like, they need to start the year from a good point. And I think they ended last year with the right roster to do that, right? They made the Julian Gressel move already. They made the Chop move already. They already have Kubas now in the team. Like, there's not that much moving parts, and I think that's much more positive for them.
The only thing that I look at their roster right now and think, could it get better? It definitely could. Obviously, Cavallini gone. There's a reason why they're trying to go get a center forward. Look, Brian White, love him as much as anybody outside of New Jersey can love someone, but, like, there is a question of goal scoring for them up top. It's probably him and Caicedo, maybe Dahomey in there with the veteran side of it.
Dahomey started there in the preseason game.
Yeah. And then the goalkeeper position. It's the top and it's the bottom of the formation. Still question marks there as well.
But if you are going to play Brian White, having Julian Gresso and Luis Martinez in your team settled with the rest of the team built so that they can get forward and get into crossing positions, that's what you want, right? Ryan Gauld making second runs, whether it's V to whoever else is that second midfielder, having Kubas at your base, like, they are built to maximize at least what they have.
All right, notes around the league. Canchon hit us up. NYCFC, do the what are they doing segment as usual, and not much. This morning, Alexander Collins announced by Girona as a new signing in La Liga, so he gone. Let's see. Coach Joe hit us up and said, how long in the preseason until Sean Johnson makes a freaking decision? As long as Sean Johnson wants to wait, apparently. Like, it's his deal. He can make the choice, and he's still waiting. I will say this. If I was Sean Johnson and I was looking at NYCFC's offseason, Toronto would be looking pretty good.
I'm assuming Toronto. I know that this is taking a couple twists and turns, but from everything I'm hearing, that nothing's done yet, but it sounds like NYCFC are planning for life after Sean Johnson.
So here's their offseason so far as I see it. You have the young Slovenian outside back that they signed. They re-signed Justin Hack, the homegrown. Bushwick stand up. Matias Pellegrini, he re-signed as well. Like, they let him go, then they brought him back to sign him to a new contract, so he's back. They're trying to start a rumor. Like, shout out to Hudson River Blue, always the spot. Whoa, I go for.
Weeby.
What?
Don't leave out the big names. They signed Tony Alfaro to a free agent contract.
Fair. Yeah.
They acquired Gabe Seagal off waivers.
Yes.
Former Stanford Cardinal.
Those are also things that they have done. They're trying to speak into existence Maximo Peroni to NYCFC. He is the Velez Argentina U20 guy that Man City just bought, but all reports are that he is going to be with Man City, not otherwise. So, yeah, it continues to be a slow process.
What is wild is, with all the losses they've had and, like, all the moves, if they start in a front three of Talis, Thiago, and Gabe Pereira, probably be one of the better ones in Major League Soccer. Like, you know the talent's there, right? And Thiago Martins, he's probably pretty high for Goss Theorem player. Of, like, they brought him in last year as a DP so that he could build and probably replace Alex Collins this year. I've said it a million times, February 23rd, February 21st, they'll drop four CFG play. Like, that's why that rumor is not absurd, because that is what will happen, and it will be four high-level players who, you know, will fit in as the year goes along.
How about the Red Bulls, Tom? Give us an update on Dante Venzier, French, Belgium, I don't know. Eric Freilander says, will the Red Bulls figure out how to generate clear goal-scoring chances, and is Dante the guy to help that? And Tim Katz hit us up and said, is that even going to happen? Dante's a pretty good player. Union SG, double-digit goals the last 3 years.
Yeah, they're still working on it. Both clubs are in talks. Union SG are, I think they've even put it out publicly, that they're like, yeah, you know, $7 million. Pretty much, like, we're open to letting him leave. We understand he wants to go, and that's been kind of the latest on this, is that he wants to go to the Red Bulls. But, you know, we're not going to give him away for nothing. I'd imagine if this gets closer to 5 million, give or take, it would get it done. This would still be a club record transfer for the Red Bulls, I believe. But yeah, Union want 7 million. I don't think the Red Bulls would go that high. I think that this one will get done eventually if they're, you know, both parties kind of seem to want this to happen and they're just haggling over kind of a final price or final details. But as of right now, nothing's done but advanced.
Do Union SG sit next to the Sons of Ben, or they sit across from them on the opposite side of the stadium?
Didn't know where you were going with that, but
I have a couple friends who are Philadelphia Union fans who like will text me updates from like Union SG in the Europa League and Union Berlin. They're like Union Berlin and Union SG played each other, and the guy's like, I hope there's a draw for all my Union teams here.
Guys, we need some preseason. We need some preseason friendlies. We need like a Union Leagues Cup, so to speak. How does that's too much of a laugh. That wasn't that funny, Tom. In a timeout,
I meant to back away.
Yeah, in a timeout, you go. How would this guy fit, Dave? Because they signed Luquinhas. They just re-signed Morgan. They went and got Manuel re-signed in the offseason. Got Corey Burke. Klamala is still there. Does it mean they go to two forwards? Does it mean he's one of those two guys underneath that they don't think Luquinhas is going to pay off the way they want? Like, what does it mean?
I think there's a chance they go to two forwards. I mean, right now, in losing Aaron Long, they have pretty much three starting center backs on the team, if that, right? Depending how you see Hassan and Dom. So I think there's a chance they could go to a back four and shift that. My guess would be that all of the other center forwards on this roster outside of Patrick Klamala, which they're dealing with on their own, it's kind of like whoever's going to play plays, right? Like when I look at this Red Bull roster, it's pretty complete compared to most of the teams in this league, especially in the Eastern Conference, except at center forward. So if I was them, I'd say, well, we don't need to use the money anywhere else. We're basically going to get four rolls of the dice at center forward. And whoever comes. So that's how it feels like to me. And I don't think that's the wrong option to choose. And if two of them play well, then yeah, you can shift your formation to be able to fit both of them into the team. But where else would they use that DP spot?
Yeah. And just one more hugely important detail that I can report. Dante Venezier is following the New York Knickerbockers. He's following Jalen Brunson and Emmanuel Quickly on Instagram. So he's ready for heartbreak. And you love that about his grit, about his character, that he's all the way in on Jalen Brunson and Emmanuel Quickly. A big New York Knicks guard guy.
Oh, God, you're owning all the MLS scoops, and now you're owning Kalen's Instagram beat. This is going to be troublesome for when he gets back from his long suspension.
Though.
He's not suspended.
Like, I kick up everything to him. Like, you know, another New Jersey.
Exactly.
He gets 10% of all this action.
I also have a correction or a note for Dave on this segment here about the Red Bulls. You said they go three deep. I'm at center back. I'm assuming that's Sean Nealis, Andres Reyes, and who would be the third for you?
I said Hassan and Dom.
Okay.
I said they have three starting level center backs. Yeah. If you consider Hassan and Dom a starter.
Gotcha. I was confirming that's erasure of Matthew Noseda, who is 6'8".
Yeah.
He does measure at 6'8". So
I was about to say, I'm disappointed in that. I'll give you my Red Bull 2 love, which is Matthew Noseda can fly. Like, this guy's legit. And I think there's a chance he could play in MLS this year.
As a 6'8 player, he is deep in Dave's heart here. Okay, Vincent says, Kai Kamara reported to Montreal training for the first time. Where do you think Montreal will trade him? He's got a pre-cap friendly salary, and he had good stats last year. Plus, he's chasing Donovan for second MLS all-time goal scorer. I don't think it's for sure that Montreal are going to trade Kai Kamara. I will say that. I know that Kai Kamara was requested a trade publicly. I would also say that that doesn't mean that Montreal have to do anything about it, given that he is under contract and now he's back in training. I would also point out that Victor Wanyama negotiated publicly. That worked out for Victor Wanyama. It might not work out the same for Kai Kamara, but Kai might have taken notes on that as well. I don't know all the background. I know the insider stuff. It seems like Kai was very frustrated at the front office. It's not the first time that's happened between players, coaches, etc. with Montreal. But I would say that I would not guarantee that Kai Kamara will not be a CF Montreal player this year. But in other news, I don't know if it matters, Dave, Chinoso Afor seems to be rejoining Montreal. Does that pique your interest at all?
He's above 6 foot, so I'm pretty invested in his career.
Okay, got it. And meanwhile, below 6 foot, Samuel Grandsier sold to Le Havre, so he is going to Ligue 2. He's out with the Galaxy. So 70-something games. He was making a good amount of money in L.A. They're turning over those winger core pretty well right now. See if they can get a DP done in this transfer window as well. Let's hit the mailbag and we'll get out of here. As always, extratime@mlssoccer.com is a good way to get at us. And we always check our Twitter mentions at extratime on Twitter. I prompt every single show prior to when I'm working on the rundown. Just put a tweet out that says, hey, if you got something, send it over. Cameron Johnson hit us up, Dave, and said, I need a best 11 of Gauss theorem candidates for 2023. We're not going to do a best 11, but I would like to hear your early names, your early contenders.
I already said Thiago Martins, which I think is a legitimate one, as
really like hope that, so. Yeah.
Early names that popped in my head. I think Rigoni is like, he's this year's Ake Loba. He's carrying the torch of what this could be and the true essence of Gauss theorem. Ace would be in there as well. I think Veroni for Revs is classic Gauss theorem, right? To score one goal in seven games and then come back and be a difference maker would be huge. A lot of U22 guys could be on this list. The one I chose for this was Kerwin Vargas, just because I like watching him play and he's fun and he could be a difference maker for Charlotte FC. One of the weird ones I put in here was Luis Amarillo. This would be his second Gauss theorem appearance after already being in the league and then coming back and doing better. So shout out to Luis Amarillo, because when you make it a lifestyle, you really commit to the bit.
Nuno Santos is one I'll throw in there on the Charlotte side as well. Did you get Jairo Torres or did I miss that?
I didn't say Jairo Torres, just because I didn't say him.
Okay, well, we'll see. He has to play better.
A ringing endorsement.
Yeah, he has to play better. How about this? Get from James. Guesses for breakout years of homegrown players across the league. I'm going with a Wolf, either Owen in Austin or Tyler in Atlanta. There is like no center forwards on that roster. Tyler or Owen.
It was a howl, Weeby.
I'm easily entertained. Michael Holiday, the right back in Orlando, 20. I think he's going to have an opportunity to start unless Kyle Smith just does Kyle Smith things and starts every game for Poppy. And then Caden Pierre at right back as well in Kansas City. He played 19 games last year. Really has some like physical and technical ability, but I thought he looked a little bit naive and got abused a little bit in his positioning and kind of awareness defensively at right back. So Graham Zusi re-signed. You would think they're trying to sort of pass the torch, so to speak. Caden Pierre,
I thought the torch pass was coming in 5 years when Graham Zusi slows down.
Yeah, well, as long as his hair is growing, he's not slowing down, dude. It's
Graham Zusi is staying in the league so he can mark Josh Sargent in the KC versus St. Louis derby game one
there
day.
There you go. He's just got to make it that long. It's a Samson situation, so as long as the hair is there, he's going to be good. As far as strength and recovery goes. Dave, I know you're big in this space. Who are the guys you're watching?
Well, a lot, but the list I had was I would add Alex Freeman, by the way, to the list used to Michael Halliday. He's
not to Dave's list, to your list, maybe. Dave is adding players to your list.
Yeah, always welcome.
Yeah, I think he's a better prospect than Halliday, and I hope he gets an opportunity at right back for Orlando this year. Darren Yappe, I think, is going to get minutes at center forward for Colorado, especially if they don't make any more moves. Rita Zuhir is an obvious one we've talked about a few times where it feels like he could step into that Montreal central midfield and get some minutes. Esmir Barakovic at New England or Noel Buck, but I think the way the roster is built, it feels like Bruce Arena is going to give some chances to those players to fill some minutes off the bench. And then we started this thing talking Leagues Cup, like, every team's going to play 45 to 50 games this year, so you'd hope guys get a chance. Jalen Neal's an obvious one, getting the national team call-up before he even plays for the LA Galaxy. That's a big one. I'm really high on Benjamin Kromaski at Inter Miami, who just got a homegrown deal and just came out of U20 training with Argentina. He's like a rumdoider, just goal scorer, central midfield-type player. And I think that's a team, again, where there'll be chances and opportunity, you hope, especially with the way the roster's built. Brian Romero in Charlotte, stoked about him, and Brooklyn Reigns.
Good list. Let's keep the list going, Tom. Any names you got?
Yeah, look, I do want to co-sign Darren Yappe. I feel like I've been on that as well for a while. I kind of thought he was going to get minutes last year, but it didn't quite work out. There's a little injury stuff. But yeah, he's a hugely rated U.S. Youth International, and let's see if he gets some minutes for the Rapids first team this year. But for some others that weren't on either of your lists, Juan Castilla, Houston Dynamo, homegrown. He was a little bit with the U.S. Youth National Team, but he's with Colombia at the U20 Championships, which is a difficult squad to break into, obviously. I would love to see him get some minutes in the Houston first team. Obviously, they have a lot of names, a lot of high priced players in that midfield, but he was described to me as like, a tenacious kind of midfielder, pace setting, a metronome, really good pass, vision, ball control, all that stuff. So looking forward to seeing if he kind of breaks over the hump and gets some regular minutes. And then Peter Shroud, the more and more I talk to people about the New York Red Bulls homegrown two-time ACC midfielder of the year with Duke, is that like he's ready for MLS minutes. Now, I feel like I've said this on the show a few times. I just want to reiterate, even though the Red Bull central mid group is really, really deep, they go like six deep, including Shroud. I do think that he's quality enough to get MLS minutes right now. It just, I guess, depends on how the rotation shakes out. Last year, we didn't know that there was going to be a role for Daniel Edelman because they had a deep group. Some injuries happened. Edelman got a chance, and then Gerhard Struber kept him in the team. So let's see what happens with Peter Shroud this year.
Also, Edelman he's going to be at the U20s, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So like that should bump him up. That should bump Peter Shroud up the list quicker than Edelman was able to get up there.
That's a good point.
By the way, anytime that Tom is not speaking, assume that he's reporting, texting, talking to agents. Because, Tom, we have a question from EMP Carr here. No Elsino, no Burke. Who does Philly bring off the bench as a super sub? Are they already on the roster? More to come? ? And you just broke some news around Joaquin Torres in Philly.
Yeah, the Philadelphia Union are finalizing a deal for Joaquin Torres from CF Montreal. He would be, they've been looking for another attacking addition, particularly one who could play as a number 10 or a second forward, a la Paxton Aaronson, since he was transferred to Eintracht Frankfurt. They're going to be playing, 55 games, they hope. So they definitely needed more depth with Corey Burke leaving. News started to come out, I've reported this for a few weeks, that there was talks, they made an inquiry. They were far apart on price. I still don't know what the numbers are, if kind of a deal is being reached or if a deal is about to get over the line. But he was held out of training today at Montreal, and Hernan Lozada was asked about it, and he just said there's no injury. So, you read between the lines, then you start annoying people and calling around and saying that, that they're getting very, very close to adding Joaquin Torres in a trade. And if you look at the trade market that Philly has hit in recent years, it's Julian Carranza, which is the big addition, and how well that turned out for them. They've added Andres Pereira in a trade this year from Orlando City. They tried to trade for Frankie Amaya. They've been active in talks, even though they hadn't kind of really dove into the trade market until, this winter. For this would be, another addition.
I talked about it when Tom brought it up of like how much I love this move for everyone, but it just makes sense that you sold young players and you got a ton of allocation money. And you can go out and sign foreign players on big contracts in one way, but this team's best 11's already built. That's not what Philly needs. And so for Philly, again, as I said, Andres Pereira at $750,000 allocation, maybe a little bit more than you'd want to give, although he's young and has more potential in the future. But it doesn't matter because that gets Philly over the hump, right? These depth pieces, Joaquin Torres, and when you look at this team now, the pure numbers depth isn't exactly there, right? They don't go 25 deep, but everyone can play 2 to 3 spots. And so now, okay, someone gets hurt. We slide Joaquin Torres in as the 10. Gazdag pushes up as, a second forward. Or Leon Flock gets hurt. Now Andres Pereira plays on the side of the diamond. Or Joaquin Torres can, Martinez gets hurt. Flock moves. Pereira comes in. Like, they just have a lot of different ways to shift things outside of center back. They don't play Brandon Craig this year. They literally have two center backs on the roster.
We'll see.
They're also looking to add another center back from what I'd heard earlier this offseason.
There it is. Tom just breaking it all down for us. Overlap old coach, old overlap on Twitter says, what does the Fire need to do to get $8 million value out of Shaqiri? They need to add a DP striker, a finisher like Nico, or another crit. They play him on the wing, sign a DP 10. Does that mean changing to a 4-3-3 or play him up top as a second striker in a 3-5-2 or what? How do they get the most out of Shaqiri, Dave?
Yeah, having any other talented player on the field.
Yeah, that's the key.
We broke this down a week or two ago, but his expected assists weren't that low in MLS. So the expectations were there. The finishing was not there. Having any talent around him. And yes, I would say Shaqiri could play in multiple roles for you. So it gives you a little bit of freedom to say, if you find a 10, that's perfect, although it probably pushes Mueller to the bench. But the focus is on a 9. Getting a 9, having Jairo Torres healthy, having Chris Mueller for a full season. Now your hope would be there's 3 players on the field who can finish off what Shaqiri creates. And if he's effective and if they're successful, then hopefully he stays engaged for the full season.
Chris Hole, is Senior Leche ready for the big time, replacing Dave Romney's minutes and complimenting Walker Zimmerman? FYI, starting with Nashville's first game announced, Dave Romney had played more minutes than any other outfield player before being traded. Good context from Chris there. Dave Romney got a TAM deal in New England. Good for him. But is Mr. Milk, Jack Mayer, ready, Tom?
Absolutely. They firmly believe this. They've been really high on Senor Leche.
This is a lesson in, like, I don't know. It's flip side of here is like, I'm constantly being like, I need more personality from players. Like, show me who you are. But like, if you're Jack Mayer, you probably, as much as you want to lean into the Milk bit, that might be a bit to avoid. That just maybe.
Nashville are very high on Jack Mayer. That was one of the reasons why the Dave Romney deal was possible, because they knew that they believe that this is a player ready to start 30 games in MLS. He had, I think, 17 or 19 starts last year because they'd play three at the back sometimes. Walker Zimmerman would beat the national team sometimes. The relationship between Zimmerman and Mara is really close. It's described to me as like big brother, little brother thing. Like, he's somebody who was also taken in the super draft, and Zimmerman was also kind of behind an established central back pairing when he was with Dallas.
They both like Milk.
If you're able to confirm that, I don't want to be speaking out of turn.
I would guess Walker is a Milk guy.
But yeah, so Nashville are really excited about this possibility, and yeah, Jack Maher, they believe he's ready.
All right, some news here before we get out of here. The Rapids have officially signed 24-year-old midfielder Connor Ronan to a 4-year deal from Wolves. And we end on this question from Stateside Soccer Show. If you had to select one current MLS player to step up and take a game-winning penalty, who are you going with? Dave, who gets the ball?
Current. Because, my first pick would obviously be Paulo Nakamura and then Gareth Bale, both not current.
I would have gone Gonzalo Higuain last year, I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who.
So that always pressure spots for Gonzalo. Yeah. I think he'd be fine in MLS, but
who's the PK specialist right now? My mind is completely blank.
I'd go Raul Ruiz Diaz, I think.
Not Chicharito, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Not Chicharito.
Carlos Vela feels like a good shout too, but yeah. If you make me pick a name, I go Raul.
I guess like a Carlos Heel. I don't know. He's good at soccer. I assume he's good at taking penalties.
No juice here for you, David Goddard.
Not really. It's an unexpected question. I think we're struggling.
I don't think penalties are really soccer. So I like don't really have vibes for penalties.
Mauricio Pereira feels like one that would be a good taker in this case.
Does he even take them? I'm pretty sure Facundo took them.
Facundo did. I still think that either one of them would be fine. Reynoso is an obvious one, just like absurd technical ability and swag. Just be like, I don't care. I'm about to bury this thing.
I think Bernadeschi missed one, right? Like he came in, he scored a couple, and then I think he had one saved late in the season.
Yeah, I don't know. If you've got some, ideas, let us know. We're gonna get more PKs in League's Cup because games don't go to past 90 minutes anymore when they're draws. So that should be fun. See how I wrapped it all around and gave you a League's Cup at the end. Hey, anyway, preseason going on this week. We will talk about Seattle Sounders on Monday as we look forward to the Club World Cup. Enjoy your weekend, you sickos. Adios.